I've been ringing Murray Hill 35097 for the last half hour, and the line is always busy. Will you ring it for me, please?
Murray Hill 35097. One moment, please.
My husband's office. He should have been home hours ago. I can't think what's keeping him or why that ridiculous wire should be busy. They always close that office at 6 o'clock.
Ringing Murray Hill 35097.
Thank you.
Hello. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Stevenson, please.
Hello.
I want to speak to Mr. Henry Stevenson.
Oh, George, speaking.
Hello, who is this? What number am I calling?
I got your message, George. Everything okay for tonight? Everything's okay. Our client says...
Excuse me, what's going on here? I'm using this wire.
It's still 11:15, George. 11:15 is right. You got it all straight now, I hope. Yeah, I think so. At 11 o'clock, the private patrolman goes around to the bar on 2nd Avenue for a beer. Then I get in through the kitchen window with the bag. Then I wait until the train goes over the bridge in case her window is open and she should scream.
Oh, hello. Who is this?
I forgot to ask you. Still don't want to use the gun?
But make it quick. Our client says he doesn't wish to make her suffer long.
Okay, George, don't worry. There won't be any slip-up. You know me.
And don't forget to take the rings and bracelets and the jewelry in the bureau drawer. Our client wishes to make it look like simple robbery. Simple robbery. That's very important.
Okay, okay. Now, let me just check the address again.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Your call, please.
Operator, you've just given me a wrong number.
I'm sorry, madam. What number were you calling?
Why, I was calling Murray Hill 35097. That's my husband's office. And instead, I was cut into some other number that you dialed. A wire must have crossed or something. And I've just heard the most dreadful thing. A murder.
Yes, madam.
And now I want you to get that wrong number back for me at once.
I'm sorry, madam. I do not understand.
You dialed a number for me just a moment ago. Murray Hill 35097. It was busy for so long, and I asked you to get it, and you did. And then those horrible men came on. Well, it's unnerved me dreadfully. I'm an invalid, you know.
I will connect you with the chief operator.
Please. Chief Operator, I'm an invalid, and I've just had a dreadful shock tonight over the telephone, and I'm very anxious to place a call. It was about a murder, a terrible, cold-blooded murder of a poor, innocent woman tonight at 11:15. I was trying to reach my husband's office. He should have been home hours and hours ago. I'm all alone tonight. My nurse has the night off because my husband had promised. As a matter of fact, he'd sworn he'd be home by 6 o'clock. I don't know any of the neighbors as we live permanently in Chicago. Well, it so happens that the couple I have working for me had some important date or other. I don't know, a movie, I suppose. They said it was promised them 3 weeks ago. You could have thought they'd at least have checked with me before leaving, had some realization of my condition, but I've been ringing and ringing the bell for nearly an hour, hoping they'd come back or something, and there isn't a sound downstairs. Not a sound.
Yes, madam.
So, as I say, when I kept getting the busy signal in my husband's office, I naturally dialed the operator and told her to try it, and she did. And then, out of a clear sky, I was cut into this ghastly conversation between two killers. And now I'd like you to trace it for me at once.
Well, madam, that depends.
Depends on what?
On whether the parties have stopped talking to each other.
Well, of course they've stopped talking to each other by now. It was just a short call. They weren't exactly gossiping.
And what is your reason for having this call traced, madam?
Reason? Do I have to have a reason when I overheard two murders? Isn't it obvious? Now, look here, my good woman. You probably don't understand. But a human being, a woman, is going to be killed somewhere, somewhere in this very city. And this murder is going to take place tonight. Do you hear me? Tonight at 11:15. Now, isn't that a good enough reason?
I quite understand, madam. But I would suggest that you turn this information over to the police.
Oh, for heaven's sake, all this idiotic red tape. You just sit there and let people die.
Call, please.
Give me the police.
Yes, madam. Ringing the police department.
Tick-tock, tick-tock. Listen to the big tick-tock. Isn't that nice? That's better. Say, maybe that's your mom calling for you. Precinct 17, Duffy speaking. Yes? Oh, yes, Mrs. Stevenson, I remember you. What? You what? A murder? Yes, go ahead. But there's lots of people by the name of George. And as for the private patrolman on 2nd Avenue and the bridge. 2nd Avenue is a very long street. And you happen to know how many bridges there are in the city of New York alone? Not to mention Brooklyn, Staten Island, Queens, and the Bronx. You know, telephones are very funny things. Now look, lady, a lot of murders are committed in this town every day. If we could stop them, we would. A clue of this kind is so vague, well, it's not much more use to us than no clue at all, unless you think there's something phony about this call and somebody's planning to murder you.
Me? Of course not. That would be ridiculous. I mean, why should anybody?
Well, you see, ma'am, there's nothing for you to worry about. Now, if you'll excuse me, please.
Just a minute.
Will you please excuse me, ma'am, for just 1 second? Oh, now, darling, what are you trying to be a good girl? Everything's going to be hard. Well, I'm sorry, ma'am, but I've got a couple of other things here on my desk that require my immediate attention. Good night, ma'am.
All right, don't listen. Who cares? Henry. Oh, Henry, why do you leave me alone? Hello?
Is this Plaza 51098?
Yes?
I have a person-to-person call from Mrs. Henry Stevenson. Chicago is calling.
Oh. This is Mrs. Stevenson.
One moment, please. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, Leona.
Hello, Dad.
Is that you, sweetie? Huh? And how's my girl tonight?
What are you doing, Dad?
What's that?
Can you talk?
I can talk.
Can you talk?
Sure, sweetheart. Go ahead, I can talk.
A murder? Tonight, 11:15? You call the police, eh?
But how come? Where's Henry? Where's your nurse? Oh, Henry told her she could, did he? Well, then why didn't he come home? Business? What business? Didn't I tell him time and again that his first consideration is to you? I'll worry about the business. No, but really, dear, when a guy has another responsibility in the world, and just because I'm not around to check up on him, just forget about it. Maybe just a gag. A couple of actors, maybe. On a radio program.
Radio program?
Well, sometimes happens. No need to worry your head in a hot night like this.
Oh, hi, everybody. Oh, pardon me.
wish you'd get the whole thing over with and come home. House is like a morgue without you. Okay, dear, I won't keep you. But I just wanted to check up as usual.
You'll call me tomorrow?
Yes, dear, I'll call you tomorrow night, same time. Oh, and Pep, tell Henry to call me at the office tomorrow morning. I'll have a talk with him.
Number 99, number 1717.
There's a telephone call for Miss Elizabeth Jennings.
Okay. There's a telephone call for Miss Elizabeth Jennings. Number 46, Miss Elizabeth Jennings is wanted on the phone. Number 23.
23? Oh, that makes 2 4s. All I need now is 14 or 65.
Miss Jennings.
Just a second, please. Just a second.
We're getting pretty close now, ladies. Pretty close to that super-duper electric crank that's donated by Bollum's Drugstore. And the next number is...
You're wanted on the phone, Miss Jennings. Miss Stevenson.
Number 59.
Bingo!
Oh, baloney. May I check those numbers?
What's the matter? What were you saying?
Mrs. Stevenson wants to speak to you on the phone. She said it's very important.
Mrs. Stevenson?
Nine.
Well, why if I haven't said it, didn't you say so?
Hello? I beg your pardon, Mrs. Stevenson. I had no idea. You're the last person on earth, naturally, I'd ever keep waiting.
Mr. Stevenson isn't home.
Mr. Stevenson not home yet?
Do you know where he is?
Why, no, I don't, Mrs. Stevenson.
He was gone 4 hours ago.
Well, that is odd, isn't it? Last time I saw him, he was leaving to keep an appointment.
Where?
No, I don't know where, but I do know he had a lunch date with a young lady. Oh, yes, rather good-looking. She came into the office this morning, said her name was Lord. Mrs. Frederick Lord. Seemed very anxious to see him. Waited for him at least 2 hours. Mr. Stevenson, someone to see you.
Some other time. I told you I'm busy today.
Hello, Henry. Don't you remember me?
Why, sure. Well, now, what do you know? Come in, won't you?
Yes, that's just the way he greeted her, Mr. Stevenson. He didn't seem to be expecting her, but I'm sure she was somebody of importance to him. Unfortunately, I couldn't hear much of what they said, but the conversation wasn't very long. And I do know Mr. Stevenson made a date to meet her later.
I'll be there in about an hour. Ask for Maurice. He'll show you to my table.
Thank you. I'll be there.
I don't know why, but he didn't leave with her.
I'll be back later this afternoon. If anyone calls, take the message. I'll be in touch with you.
Yes, Mr. Stevenson. I don't know where he went after that, Mr. Stevenson. All I know is I never saw or heard from him again all day. It was 6:30 when I went home, and I was practically the last to leave, except for Jimmy, the porter. No, he didn't even come back to get his messages. There was only one. Some man on Staten Island who keeps calling him every week. A Mr. Evans. Regular pest he is, too. But on the other hand, it's not at all unusual for Mr. Stevenson to stay away all day. And I'm sure it's nothing to worry about. Oh, now, Mr. Stevenson, I do hope I haven't let any cat out of the bag. But I'm sure, Mrs. Stevenson, it was all quite harmless. Mr. Stevenson seems so devoted, speaks so beautifully of you. Oh, did you like the flowers this week? I had the feeling, I mean, I thought...
Camellias might be sweet just for a change, you know?
Thank you.
is that, and who's calling?
This is Mr. Evans, Swindy Respect.
I don't know. He should be here any minute.
You know where I could reach?
I'm sure I don't know where, Mr. Stevenson. Is. Call back later.
Will 15 minutes be all right? I haven't much time. I'm leaving the city before midnight.
Yes, all right, 15 minutes.
Thank you, I will. And you'll tell him that I call, please, in case he does come in?
Yes.
The name is Evans. It's very important.
Yes, all right.
Hello, this is the Lord residence.
I'd like to speak to Mrs. Lord, please.
Mrs. Lord, one moment, please.
That's for me, Pete.
No, lady, for Mommy.
I don't know why you're not asleep. Sally, will you do something about Peter still being up? Where was I? Oh, yes, that he said Henry Stevenson did.
Is that Bayonne or Cicero, then?
Bayonne, the Bayonne plant of the Carterell Corporation.
Headquarters on Staten Island. 20 Dunstan Terrace, Staten Island.
Hello?
Hello, Mrs. Lord?
Yes, this is she.
This is Mrs. Henry Stevenson. I don't believe we've met, but I understand you saw my husband this afternoon.
Oh, yes, yes.
As it so happens, Mrs. Lord, my husband hasn't come home this evening. I can't seem to locate him, and I thought perhaps you might give me some idea.
Oh, yes.
I can't hear you, Mrs. Lord. Will you please speak up a little?
Oh, certainly.
Is there anything wrong? You're not keeping something from me, I hope.
Oh, no. No. Could I call you back, please?
Call me back? Why?
Because I... It's my bridge day, you know.
What's that? What has bridge got to do with it? Excuse me, but I don't understand you at all, Mrs. Lord.
I'm sorry. And then... There's that excursion to Broughton Point.
Broughton Point?
Who is it?
Well, look, Mrs. Lord, are you trying to make fun of me? Just in case you don't happen to know it, I'm a hopeless invalid.
Just a minute, I'll give you the recipe.
What are you talking about? Mrs. Lord, is my husband there with you, is he? Tell me the truth.
It's 3 eggs separated, 2 measuring cups of milk, 1/3 of a cup of shortening. Then cream the shortening with a little sugar, then add a level tablespoon of flour. Leona, just a minute. This is Sally. Sally Hunt, Leona.
Sally? Sally Hunt?
I'm sorry to be so ridiculous, but I can't talk now.
Say, Mommy, you want me to ask Daddy to stop typing so you can talk better?
Darling, please go to sleep.
All right, Mom.
It's impossible for me to explain right now, but I'll call you back as soon as I can.
Sally! Sally! Now, where's she gone? Sally!
Yes, dear.
Oh, I thought you'd gone out again. Joe'd like a bottle of beer. Got any on ice?
No, Fred, I don't believe so. But I'll go down to the store.
Okay, honey.
Thanks, Sally.
Let's see, where were we?
Better start a new paragraph.
Sally Hunt. An old Spanish custom, the hag line. I'm Leona Carterell. What's your name?
This is Mr. Henry Stevenson.
Hello, Henry. Shall we dance?
If you don't mind, miss, where I come from, it's the man who does the picking.
All right, go ahead.
Why don't you get somebody your own speed? That is, I'm sure there are better dancers around.
You'll do all right, Henry. Leona knows the way around the floor.
Your name was Carterell?
Yes, that's right.
There's a big drug company by the name of Carterell. I don't suppose there could be any connection.
I'm afraid there is. My father owns it.
You mean J.B. Carterell?
Anything wrong with that?
No, it's just that I've always pictured J.B. Carterell as a sort of walking tube of toothpaste. What do they call you, the aspirin heiress?
No, I believe it's the cough drop queen. Yes. There's nothing wrong with your dancing. Do you do a lot of it?
Not at places like this.
Oh, you're from out of town?
Well, that depends on what you call out of town.
Oh, I don't know. Harvard.
Are you trying to be funny?
Okay. What do you call out of town?
Grassville.
Well, what college is up there?
No college. Steel pipes and mica puppets.
I'm sorry, I didn't know.
That's all right. To be perfectly frank with you, I never even finished high school. Not that I wouldn't have liked to.
Neither did my father. As a matter of fact, he never got past the seventh grade.
You don't say.
My father always says, if a man hasn't any talent for making money, college won't knock it into him. And if he has a talent for making money, why should he waste his time in college?
There's something in that, too. I guess your old man ought to know when it comes to making money. Well, I'll be getting along now.
Just a minute. What do you say we sit the next one out?
Sit it out? What for?
I've got my own car on hand just outside the main gate. It's a Lagonda. I just got it from Europe. Did you ever drive one?
Never heard of it. Besides, Sally's probably looking all over for me.
Well, what difference does that make? This is a public dance, isn't it? Don't worry. She'll never even miss you.
Oh, yeah? Well, what about me missing her? Or did that idea ever strike you?
Go on. Don't be silly. For once. I'm not kidding.
Neither am I. So long, Miss Cotto. Sorry, I can't oblige that Lagonda, or whatever you call it.
Sally Hunt. I'd never put the two of you together in a million years.
Why?
Well, you're both so different. You belong in different worlds. You don't belong here in Grassville, Henry.
What makes you say that?
Just a feeling. I've been around a good deal, and I think I can spot the real thing a mile away. Isn't that Grassville over there, Henry?
Yeah. I guess we'd better turn around.
Why? It's nice here.
Think so? Stick around a few years and see how much you like it.
Henry, that woman back there in the house who opened the door for me, was she your mother?
My mother's dead.
Well, that's strange. So is mine. She died when I was born. What was your mother like?
Oh, I don't know.
You mean she died young, too?
She died last year, but I never knew her. All she ever was to me was just a line of wet clothes hung across the kitchen, a mess of greasy pots and pans piled in the sink. All I ever saw of her was yellow soap and a mop and her old run-over shoes standing in the closet. It's funny, I guess, but when I saw her lying there in the undertaking parlor last year, she seemed to me like somebody I hardly knew. I don't know why I'm telling you all this. There's nothing pretty or nice about my life anyway.
Cigarette?
Thanks.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
What do you do here in Grassville, Henry?
I have a job. Just a meal ticket till I can save up enough to get out of here.
What kind of a job?
I work in a drugstore.
A drugstore? Well, that is a coincidence.
Yeah, a heck of a coincidence. I work in a drugstore and your father owns 100 of them.
Would you like to meet him, Henry?
Who are you kidding?
Albert. I think Dad will like you very much. You're young, healthy, ambitious, and you probably know the drug business upside down.
I wouldn't say that, Leona.
Leona? Well, that's nice. Call me Leona again.
I just work in a drugstore. That's a different thing.
But I like you. And that's a different thing, too.
Like me, like you. Come on, we're both acting like a couple of kids playing cat and mouse. Besides, what does a dame like you want with a guy like me?
May I? Dad is coming to New York on business next weekend. I'm cutting my classes on Saturday. Want to come with me? I
I don't quite know how to say it, Fiona.
Well, say it and get it over with. For heaven's sake, I'm leaving in a few minutes.
You've been seeing a lot of Henry in the past few weeks, haven't you?
Yes, what about it?
Well, I just felt that I ought to warn you.
Warn me?
Henry's not the kind of man to play around with. Don't play around with him anymore, please.
Who says I'm playing around with him?
Well, he's just not your type, and you know it as well as I do.
I like your name.
Henry's poor, Leona. He's been bitterly poor all his life. I know that wouldn't matter to some boys, but it does matter to him terribly. I've known him all my life. Henry's father was a drunkard. He'd work one day and drink up every penny in the house the next. There were 8 children.
So? What has all this got to do with the price of eggs?
Leona, don't turn his head, or he'll never be able to find himself again.
You mean you can't stand the competition?
Heaven's sake, that's not the
point. Oh, Applesauce, just in case you don't know it, I happen to think a great deal of Mr. Henry Stevenson.
Look,
and I happen to think he's much too good for that town of yours.
I never said he was.
And if I want to make something of him, show him a good time, introduce him to people, that's my business. And if I want to marry him, that's my business, too.
Marry him? You don't mean that. You couldn't possibly.
Why couldn't I?
Because I happen to be in love with him, Leona.
So am I. And I don't go around rationalizing my emotions either. When I want something, I fight for it. And I usually manage to get it.
But the fellow has nothing, honey. No background, no education, no training.
And what did you have when you started in Amarillo, Texas?
Look, honey, I've spent money on your education, taken you abroad, given you everything in the world. What do you want to throw yourself away for?
I love him.
Love him? Oh, come on. If I really thought you did, you know I'd be the first to...
What's the matter?
You make me laugh. Why don't you be honest with yourself just once? What does it matter to you if I love him or not? All you want is for me to stay home here with you for the rest of your life.
Well, honey, what parent doesn't want to hold on to his child until he's sure she has something better than what he's given her?
Oh, don't be silly. It's just that you've become so dependent on me, you won't be happy until I feel the same way about you.
What are you talking about, Leona? Haven't I always let you do anything you ever wanted to do? But marriage is something else. I've worked hard. I've built up a big business just for you. And you yourself wouldn't want to see some worthless cluck of a husband.
Leave me alone.
Leona, don't.
You
please.
Don't care about me. You're thinking only of yourself and your business. You're hateful, selfish and hateful.
Leona, don't. Please, try and be calm. You'll make yourself sick.
And what good is your wonderful money and your wonderful business if I'm dead? Yes, that's what you want to do, drive me into my grave. But you don't care just as long as your business is safe.
Leona, how can you say a thing like that?
Oh, go away. Don't touch me.
Leona.
I said don't touch me. Don't you dare touch me.
Leona, darling. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. We'll talk this over again, dearest. Maybe we can work something out. Leona. Wilkins. Wilkins.
I, Leona, take thee, Henry.
I, Leona. Take thee, Henry.
To my wedded husband.
To my wedded husband.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold.
From this day forward.
From this day forward. I, Leona, take thee, Henry. Reserved a table at Maxine's. The office starts at 7:30. You know how I hate being late.
In a minute, sweetheart.
Where's your wallet?
My wallet? Must be in my coat pocket.
Sally Hunt. Hello?
Hello? This is Sally again. I'm sorry I had to be so mysterious just now, but I couldn't talk. My husband was there.
Well, it certainly was rather odd, to say the least.
This whole thing must seem very peculiar to you, Leona, hearing from me after all of these years. But I had to see Henry again today. I've been so worried about him.
Worried? About what?
Well, it's a little bit difficult for me to explain, but about 5 weeks ago, Fred, he's my husband, and he works in the district attorney's office.
That's interesting.
What's interesting?
Drink your milk, Peter. What were you saying, dear?
Kind of funny coincidence I read in the paper. About an old boyfriend of yours.
What old boyfriend?
Well, didn't you used to be stuck on a guy named Henry Stevenson?
I used to know him, yes. What's he done?
He just got his picture in the paper. He and his wife. Mr. and Mrs. Henry Stevenson. She's the former Leona Cotterill, the cough drop queen of Lake Forest, Illinois, have taken a house for the summer in New York City.
Mrs. Stevenson, in poor health for several years, is here to consult the eminent specialist, Dr. Philip Alexander.
Mr. Stevenson is a vice president of the Cotterill Corporation of Chicago.
A cough drop queen? That's funny. Who ever heard of a cough drop queen?
He looks so different.
You think so?
What are you saving it for?
Oh, case I'm working on just now. Toast is burning.
Oh. Fred. I know it's supposed to be a secret, but why did you tear out that clipping? What possible connection can Henry Stevenson have to you?
Oh, no connection to me. It's just a kind of a hunch I'm working on right now.
What's it about?
Well, sort of a special investigation I'm doing.
Henry hasn't done anything, though, has he?
I'm sorry, honey, but that's one too many questions. Oh. Say, don't tell me you're still stuck on the guy.
Don't be silly. Finished, Peter?
Yes, Mom.
Lord speaking. Yes, Joe. Yeah. Oh, you did? Oh, great. Well, how about Stevenson? What? Oh, yeah? Well, now, that's pretty good news. He fell for it, eh? Well, sure we'll go, sure. Hey, tell Hart Putlian to line it up. There's $5,000 enough. Have it in $100 bills, be sure they're marked, and keep your mouth shut for Pete's sake. Okay. Thursday? About 6:30? South Ferry. Right, Joe.
You'll probably think it wasn't any of my business, Leona, and I suppose it wasn't. But anyway, at 6:30 that next Thursday, I went down to South Ferry. I don't know what I expected to see. As a matter of fact, there wasn't much I could see at first. But obviously the stage was all set for something. Joe, he's Fred's closest friend and is on his staff, was there. There was another man with him. I guess he was this Harpootlian they've mentioned. The one who is to bring the $5,000 in marked money.
Are you sure Fred knows where we're supposed to meet him? Here he is.
Sorry, fellas. I'm a little bit late.
Come on, let's go.
It may all sound silly to you now, Leona, my spying on them and poking around like that, but something told me I had to find out what was up. I don't know. I still can't explain why, but I just followed them. One of the weirdest days I've ever spent. Have you ever been to Staten Island, Leona? Parts of it, of course, are thickly settled. But other parts seem to exist in a kind of dream, like the lonely beach we went to that day. It was quite a desolate place, Leona, far out on the island. No one was in sight except, yes, a young boy who was digging for clams by the water's edge. Further down at the end of the beach, there was nothing but a few broken down shacks, and back of them an old deserted house. ¶¶ later, I saw Fred and the other two men walking up toward the end of a small road leading to the beach. I couldn't quite make out if they talked to the clam digger or not. Anyhow, they entered one of the shacks that looked to me like an abandoned lunch stand. It was then that my attention was drawn to this strange-looking house. It looked absolutely empty, as though it hadn't been lived in for years. And yet, Leona, a freshly painted sign was in front. 20 Dunstan Terrace. It seemed to belong to somebody called Evans. W. Evans. I waited there, watching. I'd say for about an hour, Leona. Nothing happened. And then, just as I was beginning to think it was all a wild goose chase, I saw something. Something quite strange. Were in there for a good half hour, and when they finally came out, at first I didn't notice anything. All I thought of was how to get out of their way so they wouldn't see me as they were heading straight toward me. But when they got close and passed right in front of me, I saw Fred was carrying the briefcase. I didn't see my husband until he came home late that night. I was dying to ask about what happened there and what connection it could possibly have with Henry, but I didn't dare. And now, unless we do something, something drastic, it may be too late.
Madam, your 5 minutes are up. Please deposit 5 cents for the next 5 minutes.
Just a minute, please. I know I have another nickel. There. Are you still there, Leona?
Yes, I'm here. But this is one of the queerest things I've ever heard.
I know. I just didn't seem to be able to connect Henry with all of this mysterious activity either. That's why I went to see him today, to find out the truth from him.
And did you?
Scarcely.
I'm awfully sorry, but it took much longer than I thought. I hope they took good care of you here.
Yes, thank you.
Murray's 2 martinis, please. And by the way, tell Louise I'm expecting a call. It's very important.
See? Well, how have you been, Sally? It's been a long time.
Yes, Henry. 8 years.
How's the old Grassville these days?
I don't know. I haven't been there for years.
Huh? Oh, well, you wanted to see me, Sally. What was it about?
Well, it isn't easy for me to explain. You see, I've thought about you a great deal in the past years, Henry, and, well, yesterday...
2 martinis. Extra dry, as always.
Thank you. Well, here's to good old Grassford. Go on, tell me all about it. What's happening up there?
I just told you, Henry, I'm not living in Grassville anymore. I'm married now, and I live in New York.
Married? Well, what do you say? Anybody I know?
No, he's a lawyer. As a matter of fact, he works in the district attorney's office on special assignments. That's why I wanted
Pardon me, sir. Would you like to order now?
No, thanks. In a minute. Maurice, who is that man sitting behind me?
I I don't know, Mr. Stevenson. I'm sorry.
Oh, thanks. Forgive me, you were saying? What's the matter? Do you want me to get you something else?
No, thank you. I don't care for anything.
Well, then, if you don't mind, I'm kind of thirsty.
Henry, what I'm trying to say is, a few days ago, I saw a picture of you in the paper about your being the vice president of the Cottrell Company.
Sounds beautiful, doesn't it?
You are still married to Leona, aren't you?
Sure, I'm still married to Leona. Still live in Chicago. Still work for my father-in-law. Biggest drug business in the country.
What do you do there, Henry?
Push buttons, like all the other vice presidents.
I mean it, seriously.
So do I. I'm the invoice king. I supervise all the little invoices that are made out on all the stuff that goes into the Cottrell bill. Thousands and thousands of little okays that are made out on little pieces of paper, not to mention five carbon copies. How about some food? Oh, waiter.
Yes, sir.
Will you tell Albert we're ready for lunch?
Harry, I don't mean to be inquisitive. I only mean this for your own good. My husband was making out a report yesterday.
Your call, Mr. Stevenson.
Oh, thank you. Will you excuse me, Sally? Order something in the meantime. I'll be right back.
I waited a while, then.
Please pass it by, Chester. The next 5 minutes.
But I haven't got another nickel. Leona, I have to call you back. But I only wanted to say that Henry never came back from that telephone call. And he is in trouble, desperate trouble. Fred's working on some kind of report to headquarters tonight. The case seems to be coming to a head, and he's been telephoning. I've heard him mention Henry's name over and over again. And there's someone else in it, too. Someone called Evans.
Your 5 minutes are up, madam.
Waldo Evans. He owns the house out on Staten Island. The one that I saw.
Pardon me, madam, but your 5 minutes are...
Just a minute. Oh. Would you please give me some change? I must make another telephone
I'm
call.
I'm sorry, we're closing up now, lady.
But I... Spoke to you and Morris happened. There was a police car standing in front of the house.
I got there. It seems that house on Staten Island, the one I saw, was burned down this afternoon. The police had thrown a cordon around it. They captured three men, but this Waldo Evans escaped.
But who is this Waldo Evans? And for heaven's sake, what is his connection with Henry?
I still haven't found out, Leona, but I do know the whole thing has something to do with your father's company.
My father's company? Well, that's absurd. My father called me from Chicago tonight. He never mentioned a word.
Three men. I don't know why.
And why do you think Henry's one of them?
I didn't say he was. I only know that he is involved somehow, terribly.
Did they say he'd been arrested or was going to be?
No, not exactly.
Then what are you talking about? Why are you calling me like this?
Are you still jealous that I took Henry away from you years ago? Can you bear to see me happy? Can you stop coming
call the chief before we go downtown.
Hey, Brett.
Yes.
Stranger. Be there in 10 minutes and phone that.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, this is Plaza 51098.
What is it?
This is Western Union. I have a message for Mrs. Henry Stevens. Is there anyone there to receive the message?
This is Mrs. Stevenson.
The telegram is as follows. Mrs. Henry Stevenson, 43 Sutton Place, New York, New York. Darling, terribly sorry, but last minute remembered annual drug convention, meeting Boston tomorrow. Taking next train out, back Sunday morning. Keep well, all my love, signed Henry. That is all, madam. Do you wish us to deliver a copy of the message? Hello? Hello, madam.
Then I wait. The train goes over the bridge. In case her window was open and she should scream.
Our client says the coast is clear.
I got your message, George. Everything okay for tonight?
Where's Henry?
Business?
What business?
Sometimes days have gone by and Mr. Stevenson hasn't come here.
Henry is in trouble. Desperate trouble.
Darling, terribly sorry. Taking next train out. Back Sunday morning.
Then I wait for the train goes over the bridge. Then I wait for the train goes over the bridge.
Mrs. Henry Stevenson. Yes?
Thank you.
Plaza 5 10 Pardon me, sir. Your office is calling.
Bye-bye. Sorry, honey. I'll be right back. Order another drink, will you?
Oh, that horrible old phone. I hope it's nothing important.
It won't be. Not tonight.
Oh, Doctor, I thought you'd never call. You must come right over.
Oh, come, come. I'm sure it's not as bad as all that. Now, let's try to find out what's wrong.
Wrong? Everything's wrong. I want you to come over at once.
I'm afraid I can't tonight, Mrs. Stevenson. Besides, we've gone into this so many times before. You just make up your mind to try to cooperate with your husband and me in our plan of action.
Plan of action? What are you talking about?
Why, Mrs. Stevenson, you know as well as I do. I explained in my letter over a week ago.
What letter? I never received any letter from you.
But then, surely your husband, hasn't he spoken to you, Mrs. Stevenson?
What about?
I must say, I don't understand. Look, Mrs. Stevenson, I'm afraid this is not quite the time or the place to go into all that. If you try to get some sleep and compose yourself, perhaps we can discuss it tomorrow.
You discuss it now. Do you hear me now? This very minute.
All right, Mrs. Stevenson. You hold the phone for a second, please. Could you transfer this call to the booth, please?
Yes, I'm sure. Annie, will you switch the doctor's call to the booth? Hold on a moment.
Hello? Hello, are you still there, Mrs. Stevenson?
Yes, Doctor, yes.
Well, if you insist upon knowing, your husband called at my office for the diagnosis of your case, oh, I'd say about 10 days ago. I discussed your condition with him thoroughly at that time. It was then that I told him, from all accounts, Mr. Stevenson, your wife's illness seems to date far back in her early childhood. Yet there were at times comparatively long periods of good health. Is that true?
Yes, I suppose so.
You mean to say you knew nothing of your wife's illness when you married her?
No.
How soon after your marriage did it first manifest itself?
Well, I don't remember the date exactly. I should say it was a couple of years after we were married.
You see, Doctor, we were living with her father then, in Chicago, at Lake Forest.
Oh, Marie. Marie, will you get me Mrs. Stevenson's bag? Look, honey, about lunch today, I'd like to have Mrs. Stevenson's bag.
All right, Marie.
Yes, ma'am.
How much do you want?
How much do I... I'm sorry to disappoint you, dear, but it isn't what you think. It's simply that I wrote Ferguson's telephone number in your notebook last night.
Yes, and?
I was just going to tell you, I have a date for lunch with him today.
Today? You know perfectly well you're having lunch with me today. It's Friday.
I know, dear, but I won't be able to make it. This date with Ferguson's rather important.
Oh? More important than me, I suppose?
It isn't that, Leona. It's just that I had a talk with him last night, and he asked me to drop by. It's about a job.
A job? What on earth are you talking about? You have a job.
Madame, is this the suit you're going to wear?
If you don't mind, Marie, I'd like to speak to Mrs. Stevenson alone.
But Madame is late all
Will you get time. Out, please? What I mean to say, dear, and I've been meaning to say it for weeks, is that I don't belong to your father's organization. Sure, I married his daughter, so I'm a vice president now. I have a nice office, my name on the door, even a secretary. But what do I do? Nothing.
What do you want to do, run the place after 6 months?
No, but at least I'd like to hope that someday I'd get a chance to try. But working for your father is like running in a dream. No matter how hard you try, you know you'll never get anywhere.
Oh, nonsense. Dad despises Deadwood.
Sure. Only I happen to be his son-in-law. I'm not blind, Leona. As long as I'm married to you, you'll never give me a real chance.
You're making mountains out of molehills.
Look, honey, I'm only trying to be honest with you. I don't want to just graft off your charity the rest of my life. I want a chance. A chance on my own.
Only you're not getting the chance. I won't have you tracing around. Do you hear? Just because Dad doesn't go falling all over himself, you're not going to throw away a $1 million business like Cotterell's for an idle whim. It happens to be my business, too, you know. And to think my own husband turns up his nose at it. Now, will you ring for Marie, please? I'm late already. And call Ferguson and tell him you've changed your mind. Hurry up.
But I didn't change my mind, Leona.
You mean you're still going?
Yes. And I'm sure one day you'll see it'll be better for both of us.
Henry! Henry, wait! No, you're not going. Not as long as you're my husband.
Leona. Come on, don't be silly, Leona. Give me that key.
You can't do it. You can't do this to me. Nobody's ever done it. Nobody. Nobody.
Will you please stop it and give me that key?
Henry, please, if you love me. If you love me at all, don't do this. Henry, I beg you. I promise you. I'll talk to Dad. I'll do anything. Anything you want. Only don't leave me. Don't go away.
Give me that key.
No, I won't. I won't. I won't. No, Henry. You're hurting me. Henry, please. I love you. Henry, don't. I beg you. Oh.
Good evening, Wilkins.
Good evening, sir.
Is Stevenson upstairs?
Yes, sir. She's upstairs.
Anybody sick?
I beg your pardon, sir.
Henry. Henry, come here. I want to talk to you.
What's the matter? This is Leona, I hope.
Yes, it is. She had an attack today. A heart attack. She almost died.
A heart attack?
Come in. There's something I want to discuss with you. Do we have any words this morning?
Yes, but what's that got to do with Leona's heart?
Weren't you supposed to have lunch together today?
Yes.
I'm asking you, why didn't you have lunch with my daughter today?
Well, because I had to see somebody else.
And she didn't object to it, eh?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we had an argument over it. A rather private one.
About what?
Look, Mr. Cotterell, if you don't mind, I'd like to see my wife.
You'll see her when she's ready to see you.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Cotterell. What's this all about?
Sit down, Stevenson. Just in case you don't know it, Leona's had a heart condition since she was a little girl. Her mother died of it the day she was born. Leona can't stand being treated the way you did this morning. She never has been before, and she's not going to be now, by you or anyone.
And what happens if once in a while her husband has an opinion of his own?
I don't give a hoot about your opinions. Have them. Think anything you like. But while you're in this house, you do what my daughter tells you to do.
Listen, Mr. Cotterell, I don't think this is the time for this kind of a discussion. But as long as you insist, I might as well tell you. The argument I had with Leona this morning was about a very important decision.
Oh, nonsense.
A decision I made as much for the sake of my wife's future as for mine. And now if you'll excuse me.
And it was for the sake of her future that you had lunch today with Bill Ferguson, eh? Well, did you get the job?
No, I didn't.
You think you're so bright, Mr. Stevenson. But it so happens that Bill Ferguson sells me $2 million worth of dyes every year. Who do you think he's going to care more about, you or me?
So that's what's happened.
Now, let's see. Who else in Chicago would you like to have lunch with? About a job. Go ahead, I'm open to suggestions. Face up to it, Stevenson. You haven't a chance. Just as long as you're my son-in-law, you're working for Cotterell's and nobody else. Come on, Stevenson, stop being a kid. If you really cared for Leona the way I do, I'm sure you'd have done the same thing in my place. Besides, you haven't done so badly for yourself. And even if you think you have, it's still a whole lot better than Grassville. Now, you'd better go and see Leona. She's asking for you.
Maybe I shouldn't have given in like that, Doctor. Maybe that was the moment to pull out. Yes, things might have been different. But somehow I couldn't. Probably the old man wasn't altogether wrong about me.
No, I couldn't go back to Grassville anymore. I suppose from that day on I began to compromise. Always with the one hope in the back of my mind that somehow, someday, I'd win out on my own.
How long did this attack of Mrs. Stevenson's last?
Oh, she got well pretty quickly. For a while, everything seemed to straighten out. I was given a new office, even a new title. But it wasn't long before we were back where we started.
You mean she suffered another attack?
Yes, several. I remember one day in particular. It was about a year later. I had an idea that I thought, that I hoped might help the situation.
It's the first step on your left, sir. Shall I open it?
It's all right. I have the key right here.
Very good, sir.
This way, Leona.
Look, Henry, don't you think it's about time you let me in on this jolly little secret?
Well, let me show you first.
Just a minute. If it's another apartment, I don't want it.
But you haven't even seen it, Leona. It's really something. It has terraces all the way around, a 45-foot living room, a private bar. Come on.
I've told you 1,000 times we don't need an apartment.
It isn't an apartment I'm looking for, Leona. What I want is a home of our own. We just can't go on living with your father forever.
I don't see why not. There's plenty of room. It's comfortable. I like it. Besides, who's going to pay for this little thing?
Well, I hope eventually I will.
Eventually. But in the meantime, it's my money, and I'm the one who's going to pay for it. Henry. Henry, you're so naive. You're like a little boy with a box of candy. I can't just throw my money away on everything you happen to see. There's a limit.
Well, sure there's a limit. I'm supposed to follow you around like a pet dog tied to a chain. I'm supposed to like whatever crumbs you want to throw me.
Henry, don't be ridiculous.
Yeah, you've got me sewed up 16 different ways for 3 meals a day and pocket money.
That's all you care about. That's all you married me for, my money. I should have known it. I should
have... Stop it, Leona. Let's not go to pieces. Please, just for once, will you listen to me?
You hate me. You're bored with me. All you want to do is get away.
Okay, I'm bored. Bored stiff. Who wouldn't be with that neat little routine you've got cooked up for me? What do I do but keep running back and forth between that rotten office and that stuffy house of yours? What do I have? Nothing. Nothing of my own. Not even the studs on my shirt nor the matches in my pocket.
Henry, how can you say this to me?
Remember? You told me once I'd love this kind of life. You want to know something? I do love it. I love it now more than you'll ever know. But I want to be my own boss, profiting by every bit of it. Not just a stooge on the outside looking in. Get it?
Get me some water,
Chris. Please, Leona. It isn't that I want to be without you. I could love you still if only you'd try to understand.
Henry, you're not...
I came to know her better, of course, after a while. I held my temper in her, about everything. But even so, no matter how hard I tried, her attacks increased in violence and became more and more frequent. Sometimes it was just some little thing that had set her off. And then, yes, it was about a year ago, she just seemed to give up hope of ever getting well and took to her bed more or less permanently. When we left for New York this summer, Dr. Burnett in Chicago told me she didn't have much of a chance. Since then, it's been more and more like a nightmare.
I don't know exactly how to tell you this, Mr. Stevenson. It would probably be quite a shock to you. But if you want to know the truth about your wife, there's absolutely nothing wrong organically with her heart. It's as sound as a bell. I've examined her thoroughly. Your evidence just now confirms what I thought right from the beginning.
That is?
That her condition is mostly mental. She's what we call a cardiac neurotic. Her attacks don't spring from any physical weaknesses. They're brought on by her emotions, her temper, and her frustrations. The whole thing is probably quite unconscious on her part. The pattern was laid out by her father. The mother died of heart failure. He was always so sure the child was affected too. Subconsciously, you see, she learned to deceive him, to simulate a false condition. Marriage continued the process.
Oh, I'm sorry. It must have caught her. I hope I didn't break anything.
That's all right. The number plate snapped off, that's all. Of course, I'm not saying that your wife isn't a sick woman. Mentally, she's very sick. And her attacks are real enough. They give her acute distress, even pain. But given proper psychiatric treatment, she may snap out of it entirely. Live on for years and years. Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Stevenson. You've been most helpful. I'll call on Mrs. Stevenson tomorrow. This is a psychiatrist I want her to see.
Just a minute. I wish you could wait a few more days, Doctor. Could you?
I'd like to think this over.
Think it over?
Well, yes, you see, she's so easily upset, and I think maybe I ought to prepare her, get her used to the idea.
Well, naturally, it will be quite a shock. Perhaps a few days more or less won't matter very much.
Unless you wanted to write her a letter. It might make it easier for her to take, and it would give me more time to talk to her.
Well, it's an extremely delicate matter, Mr. Stevenson. But if you think you can manage it, let's try it that way. Give me a ring in a couple of days. Meanwhile, I'll write a letter to your wife.
Thanks, Doctor. Thank you very much for everything.
And that's just the way I left it with him not 2 weeks ago, Mr. Stevenson. And I simply don't understand, because I wrote you as we planned on... Let me see now. A week ago last Friday. I'll call you back later tonight. Now, just try to lie back and relax. I believe I prescribed a sedative for you, didn't I? Well, then just double the dose. Hello? Hello, Mr. Stevenson. Hello?
Hello.
This is Stevenson.
Yes.
This is Mr. Evans. Has Mr. Stevenson come in yet?
No, he hasn't. He won't be back till Sunday. Will you please, please, Mr. Evans, tell me what this is all about? Why are you calling him every 5 minutes? Who are you?
I've already told you, Mrs. Stevenson. My name is Evans, Waldo Evans. I'm very sorry if I've annoyed you, but there are certain names and addresses that are important, very important, for Mr. Stevenson to know. So if you'll be good enough to take the following message.
What are you talking about? I can't take any messages now.
If you'll please tell Mr. Stevenson that the house at 20 Dunstan Terrace
has been burned down. I burned it down.
Also, please tell Mr. Stevenson that I do not believe it was Mr. Morano. The name is spelled M-O-R-A-N-O, who betrayed us to the police, that Mr. Morano has already been arrested. So there's no necessity for the money now.
Morano? Who's Morano?
Thirdly,
will you please tell Mr. Stevenson that I escaped and am now at the Manhattan address? However, I do not expect to be here after midnight. If he wishes to find me, he may call the number Bowery 2 1000.
And now I believe that's all, if you'll be so good as to read it back to me.
Read it back to you? Are you insane? Don't you realize I'm a terribly sick woman?
I'm very sorry for you, Mrs. Stevenson. Perhaps it would be better to tell you before the true facts are garbled by the police. It happened on the second Monday in January of last year. The place was your father's plant at Cicero, Illinois. Yes, I'm afraid so, Mr. Stevenson. Catching up a little. I lost a little time last week. Anything I can show you, Mr. Stevenson?
No, thanks. Just curious. I've always been curious about this department, what you do here. This is where the formulae for all our products are developed, isn't it?
Well, I suppose you could put it that way, Mr. Stevenson. You see, there are many ingredients which go into the various pharmaceuticals. We break down the raw materials into their various components, many of them extremely rare.
Is that so? And, what do you do with all this after you break it down?
Why, it goes into the Cotterill products.
I know, but in the meantime, before you ship it out, where is it?
Well, I'm afraid that's rather a company secret, Mr. Stevenson. But I suppose being Mr. Cotterill's son-in-law...
Never do to leave it lying around loose.
quite precious, you know.
And you're the man in charge of it.
I suppose I am.
Doesn't it ever worry you?
Worry me, Mr. Stevenson? Pardon me.
Thank you.
What I mean is, being responsible for all this. For instance, suppose you were ever to make a mistake.
A mistake, Mr. Stevenson? I've been working here now for 15 years, and I'm sure that no one has ever had cause to complain.
Of course, of course. I was just, how shall I say, curious, that's all.
I quite understand, Mr. Stevenson.
Cigarette?
Oh, no, thank you. I don't smoke. That's how I first became acquainted with your husband, Mrs. Stevenson. About a month later, I was waiting for my bus, as usual.
Oh, Wally! Oh, good evening, Mr. Stevenson.
Hop in.
You're sure it's not too much trouble?
No trouble at all.
Well, thank you, then. This is certainly a treat.
Very beautiful car, Mr. Stevenson.
It's my wife's.
Oh? I've never owned a car. They've always seemed just a bit too mechanical for me. Personally, I much prefer a brace of spanking horses and a good carriage. I brought up around horses, you know, in Surrey. And I suppose one never gets it out of one's blood. You care for horses, Mr. Stevenson?
No, not very much.
Oh, you're missing a great deal. They're such fine creatures. So powerful and at the same time so gentle and affectionate. I've often wished that I owned a small number of them.
You don't say.
Only I'd never keep them in the stable. That's far too cruel. I'd let them be free, as nature intended, in a very large meadow. And every day I'd go down there with bits of carrot and sugar and stroke. As a matter of fact, I've already picked out the perfect spot. It's near Dorking, England. And a bit of land there, all green grass and shade trees, with a beautiful brook. Horses do love a brook. I price it every now and then, just for my own amusement, you know. But it always seems just a little, how shall I say, beyond me.
Sounds nice. But why is it always beyond you? Haven't you saved enough at that job of yours?
Well, Mr. Stevenson, the high cost of living, you know. And to be frank, I've become a bit over-anxious on occasion for ready money and lost out on foolish speculations. But I'm putting a little aside now every month. Someday, a very distant one, I'm afraid, when I've retired from my job.
But why wait till you've retired? What good is a dream when you're too old to enjoy it?
That's quite a truism, Mr. Stevenson. I suppose the zest does go out of things with the encroachments of old age.
You said it, Wally. You can't live on dreams forever. Waiting only weakens you and your dream. My motto is, if you want something, get it now.
It's the next turn on the right, Mr. Stevenson. Number 54.
Well, good night, Mr. Stevenson, and thanks ever so much.
Oh, Wally, about that conversation we had with the lad last month, I've been thinking. There might be a way out after all.
A way out? Why, whatever do you mean, Mr. Stevenson?
To have that meadow in England, those horses.
How so, Mr. Stevenson?
By making a mistake every once in a while.
A mistake?
Yes, nobody has to know.
Please, Mr. Stevenson. Pardon me, I'd better be going. Wally, wait a minute. Yes, Mr. Stevenson.
I've got it all figured out. The differences need to be so slight, nobody but yourself ever has to know. Why, a chemist like you ought to be able to work miracles.
Work miracles, Mr. Stevenson?
Certainly. Look what you've done for the company all these years. What have you gotten out of it? Nothing. Nothing but the dirty end of the stick.
What?
Come on, don't be silly. I've already talked the whole thing over with somebody else.
You talked this over? With whom?
A man named Morano. He'll take everything we can get and unload it. You know what a fence is, don't you? We'll split the money three ways.
You, a drug thief?
No, not necessarily. The Cotterell Company makes a lot of products we can dispose of.
Mr. Stevenson, how could you? You, so young and fine.
Yes, I'm young. Young enough not to waste my life in dreaming. There are things I want to do, big things. The only way to get them is to be strong, to be... Now, what's the use of talking? I'm sorry, Wally. Sorry I brought the whole thing up. I trusted you because... Well, I thought you were my kind of person. I guess I was mistaken.
But, Mr. Stevenson, what if we were caught?
I mean, why should we be caught? Morano has it all figured out. Besides, for once, there's an advantage in being Cotterell's son-in-law.
It's just that I wouldn't want to see you take a chance like that alone.
May I come in?
And we were in court, Mrs. Stevenson, for nearly 7 months. From March 9th to September 14th, we were in court. I never saw Mr. Morano. I merely carried out our mutual plan. Every Friday afternoon, Mr. Stevenson handed me the money. By September 14th of last year, I had saved the sum of $7,555.49. But it was in the early afternoon of that day that...
When did you get it?
It came this morning in the interoffice mail. I don't understand it. I never said a word. That's why I'm sure they must suspect.
If they suspected anything, they'd have fired you outright. Call the police.
I'm sorry. I can't help feeling this transfer to New Jersey is a sign, a warning. I'm sure of it.
A sign of what?
To stop this. Mrs. Stevenson, I just can't go on any longer.
Shut up. Now, what do you mean by this kind of drivel?
It's just that money doesn't seem that important.
Maybe not to you. But here, you stupid fool. We've been a bunch of stooges up to now. Moreno's kicked us around. Now we have a chance to get rid of him. That transfer of yours is just what I was looking for.
As a matter of fact, we're much better off operating from Bayonne.
Look, you'll be your own boss, a partner with me. I'll tell Moreno you've been laid off here. This setup's over. Then you and I will establish headquarters for ourselves back east. We'll operate on our own and split Moreno's share between us, see?
Don't you think that's rather dangerous? I'm just a chemist, Mr. Stevenson. I don't know anything about that aspect of the business.
But I do. I've been doing a little research, and I'll teach you plenty. Come here, I'll give you an idea. This is the Cotterell plant at Bayonne. New York, Staten Island.
1.5 months later, we began operations on Staten Island, New York. Our headquarters were an abandoned house at 20 Dunstan Terrace, which I purchased for Mr. Stevenson. Here, twice a week, after work, I would come from your father's Bayonne plant. And here, Mr. Stevenson would mail me, or telephone, his instructions from Sicily. The character of our work now became more complex, as much as I was directly selling the products as well as removing them from the plant. A little over 3 months ago, Mr. Stevenson arrived in New York himself to supervise the work. But unfortunately, it was at that time that the final chapter of our enterprise was being written. Pardon me?
Come right in. Good evening. This is the professor.
Wally, this is Morano.
Morano?
Yes, that's right. You didn't expect me, did you, Professor? Now, with the kind assistance of Mr. Evans, that is the name, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
With the kind assistance of Mr. Evans, we'll proceed with our business. As I was saying, Stevenson, according to our information, and we have pretty accurate sources, since you decided to disassociate yourself from us, you have accumulated quite a stock, of which you have been able to dispose of only 1/3. Now, that leaves quite an amount hanging around loose, doesn't it? Where is it?
I told you, I don't know anything about it.
You don't. How about you, Professor?
As Mr. Stevenson just said, we don't know, I'm sorry to say.
Well, so am I. All right, boys.
Leave him alone. Leave him alone, I said.
Hold it, fellas. Are you what, Stevenson? Look, Stevenson, size doesn't count in our business. We all know you're a big, strong guy. We all know you can fight. But this isn't the way you're going to settle the little difference our organization happens to have with you. Now, there's one thing I haven't told you yet. We had a, what'll I call it, a board meeting last Thursday. And the vote was 7-1 against you. That's pretty bad. I'm not saying I didn't argue the point, of course, but you insist on being stubborn, there's nothing I can do.
Stop beating about the bush, for Pete's sake. What do you want?
Ah, now you're talking. Now let's just relax for a second. I'm sure the professor would like to get a load off his feet. It's a long way from here to Bayonne, isn't it?
No, thanks. It's quite all right. Mr. Stevenson, I beg you, give them what they want. You take everything I've...
Shut up! You see, Stevenson, since you went into business for yourself, we've suffered quite a loss. Now, if you were to turn back what you've accumulated and pay us, say, $200,000 for our injured feelings,
I might get the board to reconsider their decision, provided, of course, the both of you continue working under our humble supervision.
You know as well as I do, I don't have that kind of money.
No, but you've got very good connections, a rich father-in-law, a rich wife.
Yeah, a lot of good that does. What do you suppose I went into this business for?
But I thought I read somewhere about your wife being sick, even dying.
So what about it?
She's got insurance, hasn't she, made out in your name? I'm pretty sure the board would give you, say, 90 days to raise the money on something like that.
Why 90 days?
Isn't that what the doctor said?
Yes, that's what he said, but... What's that?
Oh, just a little IOU to make it legal. You see, everything can be straightened out without any trouble.
Suppose something happened and she didn't. I mean, if she got...
I wouldn't worry about it, Stevenson. You've got a doctor's word for it, haven't you? They know their business. I wouldn't say you had much of a choice anyhow.
That happened on the evening of the 23rd of this past April. I need not describe Mr. Stevenson's distress when, 4 days ago, the IOU came due. As I understand it, Mr. Stevenson saw Mr. Morano, but his request for an extension was most heartlessly refused. I have not seen either Mr. Stevenson or Mr. Morano since. And now, inasmuch as I've already given you the final message, I believe the rest explains itself quite simply.
Now.
I wish I knew, Mrs. Stevenson. Perhaps if you tried the Bowery number...
The Bowery number?
That I gave you in the message. And now if you'll check it over with me...
Yes, I can't!
I'll repeat it for you, Mrs. Stevenson, once more. Point one. The house at 20 Dunstan Terrace was burned down this afternoon by Mr. Evans. Point two. Mr. Evans escaped. Point three. Mr. Morano has been arrested, so it will not be necessary to raise the money. Point four. It was not Mr. Morano who tipped off the police.
It doesn't matter. Just give me the Bowery number. The one for Mr. Stevenson.
Point five. Mr. Evans is at the Manhattan address, but he's leaving now and may be found at Bowery 2, 1000.
Bowery 2, 1000?
Yes, after midnight. Good night, Mr. Stevenson. Thank you very much. Good
night. Is Mr. Stevenson there?
Mr. Who?
Mr. Stevenson, Mr. Henry Stevenson. I was told to call by Mr. Evans.
Just a minute, I'll see. Stevenson's the name?
Yes, that's right.
On the phone.
No,
he's not here, ma'am.
Oh, well, Mr. Evans said he might be expected. Could I leave a message?
Message, ma'am? We don't take no messages here, ma'am. I wouldn't do no good.
No? Well, what number is this? What am I calling?
Bowery 2-1000, ma'am. The city morgue.
Your call, please.
I've heard. Give me the police, quick.
Ringing the police department.
No, wait a minute.
Give me a hospital. I can't be alone, I'm telling you. Hurry, hurry.
One moment, please.
Operator, what about the hospital? Hello, operator.
They'll do.
Is this a hospital?
Yes.
Oh, I want the nurse's registry.
Whom you wish to speak to, please?
I want the nurse's registry. I want to hire a trained nurse immediately for the night.
Pardon me just a second.
I said I want to hire a trained nurse. I need her immediately.
We quite understand that, madam. But in the first place, this is a city hospital.
All I know is that I'm a sick woman. And I'm all alone in this horrible, empty house. I overheard a conversation, a telephone conversation a while ago about a murder. A murder to be committed at 11:15. I don't know what's happened to my husband. If something isn't done, I'm afraid... What was that?
What was what, madam?
That click just now on my telephone. As though someone had lifted the receiver off the hook of the extension downstairs.
I didn't hear it, madam.
Well, I did. There's someone in this house. There's someone in the kitchen downstairs, and they're listening to me now. That... Who is it who's there? Hello?
Hugh Haven is calling. Mrs. Henry Stevenson, is she there?
Yes, but I haven't any time to talk. I'll call back later.
I have a person-to-person call from Mrs. Henry Stevenson, from Mr. Henry Stevenson. Do you not wish to accept the call, madam?
Did you say Mr. Stevens? Mr. Stevenson from New Haven?
Do you wish to accept the call, madam?
Oh, yes, I'll take it.
One moment, please. Go ahead, New Haven. Go ahead, sir.
Hello? Darling?
Henry, where are you?
Well, I'm on my way to Boston, dear. Stopping off between trains in New Haven. Did you get my wire?
Yes, I got it.
I just thought I'd check up and see how you were. I was so sorry I couldn't reach you by phone, but of course I knew you'd be all right.
Well, I'm not all right. There's someone in this house right now. I'm sure of it.
Oh, now, honey, how could there be? Don't tell me you're still alone.
Well, of course I've been alone. Who else would be here? You promised to be home at 6 o'clock.
But, Leona, I thought I explained to you and my wife...
I've been alone for hours. I've been a prey to every kind of horrible call. And, Henry, I want you to call the police. Do you hear me? Tell them to come over at once.
Now, honey, you know you couldn't be safe in that house. You're all locked up, and there's a private patrolman. You're right in the heart of New York City, and the telephone's right beside your bed.
Henry, what do you know... What do you know about a man named Waldo Evans?
Waldo Evans? Why? What do you ask?
He called me up tonight. I had a long talk with him just a little while ago. About you.
About me? What about me?
Well, he told me some terrible things. Some of it sounded insane, but there were other parts that sounded true.
You mustn't listen to every crazy crap about the calls you up there. Now, just try to forget about it.
They said you'd been stealing from Dad's company. Is that true, Henry?
True? Of course not. What a crazy idea.
Well, he left some kind of a message for you that the house on Staten Island, 20 Dunston Terrace, had been burned down and that the police knew everything and that Morano had been arrested and... Are you still listening?
Yes, I'm here.
They said you were a criminal, Henry, a desperate man. And Evans said you wanted me to die.
And that money, Henry, that money those people wanted, why didn't you ask me for it? Well, I'd have given it to you gladly if it would have saved your life. I'll give it to you now if it isn't too late.
That's all right. Forget about it.
I didn't mean to be so awful to you, Henry. I only did it because I loved you. I thought you didn't love me. And that you'd go away and leave me.
Leona. Leona.
Yes?
I want you to do something for me.
Will you forgive me, Henry? Will you?
I want you to try.
Please, Henry,
listen to
please.
Me, Leona. I want you to try to get out of bed.
I can.
You've got to. I want you to get out of that bed and walk to the window. I want you to scream out in the street, Leona.
I can't move, Henry. I'm too frightened.
Keep trying. Otherwise, you've only got 3 more minutes to live. Don't talk to me anymore. Just get out of that bed. I confess everything. Everything. I did feel for your father. And I was so desperate I even tried.
Henry!
I arranged to have you.
Henry! Henry, there's somebody coming up the stairs!
Get out of that bed! Walk
out!
Leona, hello? Leona!
Sorry, wrong number.